Thank you, Roger. It's good to be here this morning and stand before you and praise the Lord for our bountiful blessings, His presence in our life, for the beautiful plan of salvation that He's laid before us, for the scriptures that He's preserved that we might have in these the last days and might be able to read them and pray about them and get understanding and direction in our life. I'm going to start out today with a reading of a scripture that I use an awful lot. But it tells of the plain and simple doctrine of Christ. And in a few paragraphs, it explains the things that need to be important to each one of us, that we ought to heed and make sure that we're on that straight and narrow path that's spoken of here. And I'm going to read from the Second Nephi, the 13th chapter, starting on page 162 in the 18th verse. It says, "But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying," the voice of Christ saying, "After that ye have repented of your sins, and witness unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with a new tongue, even with the tongue of angels, and after this should deny me, it would have been better for you if you had not known me. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, Yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this that unless a man shall endure to the end, in following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. Wherefore do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that you might know the gate by which you should enter. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance, and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after that ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, Nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore you must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen." Plain and simple truths. The way is given to us. It's not difficult for us to understand. You know, there is a need for us to yield to our Heavenly Father. There is a need for us to repent of our sins and to be baptized. Make a commitment, a covenant with our Heavenly Father that we have the desire to follow Him all the days of our life. You know, there's those of us that are in a congregation that haven't made that commitment. And I call on you to read these words and to know and to pray about them and have an understanding of what it is that's required in your life. To yield yourself to your Heavenly Father. To allow His Spirit to work on your heart and to soften it and to mold you. to direct you. And for those that, of us that have gone down into the waters of baptism and have made that commitment, you know, it's talking here to us too, is all done. It says, nay. Not as, you know, we must continue on. We must be focused. We must have that faith that, and put it to practice in our life that has brought us as far as we've gotten. You know, we need to, it talks about here about being, having to press forward with a steadfastness in Christ. You know, to follow the example that Christ has set for us when he dwelt here among the children of men. The way that he lived his life is the way that we're to live ours. And we need to reflect on those as we read the scriptures and compare it to our life and see how we measure up. There's a need for us to diligently seek him and his ways and what his desires are for us, his commandments, and how are we to be living our life. You know, the time that we have here is but a short time in eternity. It's a time that's been allotted for you and I to be here among the children of men and to make that commitment to Jesus Christ and to live our lives. This is the day of our probation. This is our sole purpose for us being here. And let's not procrastinate. Let's make sure that we're using our time wisely. That we are in fact diligently seeking the Lord and his direction in our life. Can we honestly say that we're diligently seeking? Is that the first thoughts of our hearts and our minds and our direction? Or do we allow ourselves to get caught up in the things of the world around us? You know, our jobs, our homes, our families. Those are all concerns that we need to have. Those are all things that we have to handle. But they shouldn't rule in our lives. It tells us here to be steadfastness in Christ and having a perfect brightness of hope. Marvelous passage. Perfect brightness of hope, that we have a clear picture in our mind where it is that we're headed or what is available to us, that we might have that hope in our resurrection of Christ and life eternal. You know, that hope is spoken of as a confident expectation, that we can expect it. You know, do we have that hope? Do we look forward to eternal life with our Heavenly Father? Can we even imagine what the Lord has planned for us? You know, are we willing to do the things, this hope that we have, you know, denotes that it takes some effort on our part to work towards these things. And are we focused enough? Do we have that brightness that's spoken of enough to work towards that end? That we don't get lost and set aside, and burned up with the cares of the world that are around us. That we don't get caught up with our own knowledge and wisdom and the knowledge of man and believe the things that are out in the world as being the truth, but that we stay focused. For it says here, and now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there's none other way nor name given under heaven which man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Think about that. You know, over in the 15th chapter, over a page or so, it talks about, I'm going to pick it up with the 7th verse, and it says, I glory in plainness, I glory in truth, I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. I have charity for my people and great faith in Christ that I shall meet many souls spotless at his judgment seat. I have charity for the Jew. I say Jew because I mean them from whence I come. I also have charity for the Gentiles. But it goes on. He says, but behold, for none of these can I hope. For none of these can I have that confident expectation. For none of these can you have that perfect brightness of hope. To know except that they shall be reconciled unto Christ. Yeah, there's a need for each one of us. Whatever our age is, or whatever our upbringing is, whatever we're from or going to be, there's a need for each one of us to be reconciled unto Christ. And enter into the narrow gate, and walk in the straight path which leads to life, and continue in the path until the end of the day of probation. Until the end of the day of probation. Now, you know, we can take that and we can give a couple of reactions to what that says. We can give it no heed at all. Say, well, it's a bunch of scriptures are written by a bunch of old men way back there and it doesn't have anything to do with us. Or we can take it and kind of be burdened with the thought and the need or we can rejoice in the promise that's given here. There's a beautiful promise here. And often we have a tendency, I have a tendency, I can't talk for everybody else, but think of all the things that are commanded to us and how we're going to accomplish them how can we overcome the things of the world. But the beauty of it is the promise, that perfect brightness that's given here of the promises that are given to those that follow the Lord. And the joy that we are to have with eternal life. The joy that we can have within this life that we live when we know that we're following the commandments of the Lord. And the joy that we can have when we feel that He's touched our hearts and directed us. And that we know and have stepped out in faith and put this faith to practice in our life and have been instantly blessed. And that's the beautiful promises. That's the joy that we can have. That's that perfect brightness of hope that we are to have. And you know, the Lord challenges us, you know, put these things to practice and see if I don't bless you. So these commandments that are given to us by God are not burdensome. They are uplifting because He's promised us that He'll bless us, that He'll open up the windows of heaven on our behalf if we yield, if we diligently seek Him. You know, there's a scripture that I used here a couple of weeks ago, the East Local, but I'm going to read it again. I'm going to read one verse from chapter 3 of the Book of Alma, the 48th verse. Could you say if you were called to die at this time within yourselves that you have been sufficiently humble? If we were to call to die right now, can we say that we were sufficiently humble? Can we look with surety and know that we have lived our lives according to the things the example that's been set by Jesus Christ? Have we sufficiently humbled ourselves? Can we honestly say that we are allowing Him to completely direct us and mold us and shape us and form us and direct our very thoughts and our activities in our life? Now, that's not a question I can answer for any of you, I'm not trying to attempt to do that. But that's a thought that we ought to have about ourselves. And then work on the answer, whatever we come up with, this, to see that we can answer yes there. No. Have we been sufficiently humble? I'd like to read from the 33rd chapter of Psalms. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord, all ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." You know, we're to rejoice in the Lord. We're to praise His name. We're to sing a new song in the activities in our life and that we've made a change and have a desire to serve Him. And this is not to be burdensome, but we're to rejoice in the opportunity that He's given us. Can you imagine that, that he gave the gift of his own son that we might be brought back into his presence and have eternal life? That the bands of death might be broken, that there might be hope for us, that there might be something beyond this life that, that we're living here. And you know, we've been bountifully blessed. You know, we have all the temporal things that that we need in the world, you know, especially this country that we live in. Each of us here, you know, of the blessings that we have, but it's nothing compared to what the Lord has in store for us. And we have to make sure that we don't get satisfied. Because he desires so much more for each and every one of us. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Isn't that true? The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Imagine that. You know, by his very words were the heavens made. He gave a commandment and it was done. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. You know, we have as a testimony of the power of God, the very earth and the breath that we stand on and breathe. Because he formed it by his very words. He commanded it and it was done. And the same thing is going to happen with the promises that he's given. The prophecies of the things and the blessings that the Lord has in store for us, these promises are in fact going to happen. And we can have great hope in that. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and thoughts of his hearts to all generations. Forever. Unchangeable. The same. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we can stand on that promise and need to. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither can he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. There's none of us that have strength, or we are not to rely on the things of the world. In this case, it gives an example of the horse. Nothing that horse can do, it's going to be the Lord. And that's what we have to rely on and have that hope that's given to us. I'd like to continue with the reading here in Proverbs. In the 13th chapter, thirteenth. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whoso despise the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. You know, if this hope that we have, if this confident expectation that we're to have, if we don't do anything with that, If we defer that and say that I don't really have to, I got some time. I don't have to do with anything with that. You know, what did it say here? Make it the heart sick. It's going to harden our heart. And we're going to be drawn away from the things of the Lord, where they are not to us, that we don't no longer understand them and have the Lord's blessing and enlightenment in our life. But when the desire cometh, when we have that confident expectation, when we look forward to joy standing in the presence of our Heavenly Father, when we have have approached Him with a contrite heart and a broken spirit and allow Him to mold us and direct us, it's as a, here it says, as a tree of life. It lifts us up. And it allows us to overcome all the things that are around us. And it gives us strength. And it strengthens our heart and draws us closer to Him. But we can't look forward to, or we can't forget to look forward to what the Lord has in store for us. I'd like to turn to Jeremiah, 17th chapter. Read a couple verses there. 5th through the 8th. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. There's some marvelous promises there and an admonition to us. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. We're going to miss the blessings that the Lord has in store for us if we put our trust in the things of this world. It says here we're to be as the heath, and we're to be in desolate places. That there will be a famine of the spiritual guidance in our life. The word heath refers to a bush that grows in a desert that is of naught. And if you've seen pictures of the desert, this scribbly old stuff that, it's barely living and never going to have any hope to grow, I guess. And it's been there for ages and there's just no energy there. There's no value there. And for those of us that choose to trust in the Lord, that's going to be our stake in life. That, we're going to be there, and we're going to be in a spiritual famine. But for those that put their trust in the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord, whose hope is the promises that are given, an example that is set. Again, it says, "You shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That we'll be able to overcome the famines and the droughts that appear in our life around us. That we'll still have that if we trust in the Lord, we are to still have that root that's deep and brings that nourishment to our soul. In this case, it gives an example of having a green leaf and being able to overcome the days of the droughts, even though there isn't any rain, but that the roots are near that river, that water of life, which is our Heavenly Father. Going to switch over to Romans now. Hmm. And I'm going to read a couple of verses here. 24 through 28. It says, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts know what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Tells us that, you know, that we're saved by this thing that we've been talking about, this hope. Because if we have it, we know that it's going to be that guiding direction in our life, and that we'll be able to overcome the things of the world. And I don't know how to express it, and I'm having a little bit of problem doing it, but that I'm feared for us. That we have lost that perfect brightness of hope. That we as individuals and people, that deep desire and direction in our life. And I speak that, you know, for all of us, me included. And I don't know if we've lost it, but we haven't attained it. We haven't made it enough of a matter of prayer, supplications to our Heavenly Father that His blessings might be upon us, that we might feel that hope, that we might have that urging and that desire in our life, that we might be more focused and have a light and a direction that is clear, that we might not be lost on a path and stray, that we might have that burning desire within our heart, that it might overcome our humanness and our own personal desires, but that we might feel that swelling within our breast, and it might be so strong that we don't lose sight of the task that's at hand. That these are the days of our probation, and these are the days for us to commit ourselves to Jesus Christ. That this might overcome our very being and our thoughts and our ambitions and our actions and completely fill the voids in our life, and that it might hold us up, and that we might have that desire, that we might feel the indwelling of His Spirit on our very thoughts and our minds and our actions. Now that promise is to us. The Lord has promised us this. You know, if we have that hope. And I go back to the scripture is if I feel that we have fallen short. And however you feel, if you feel you have fallen short, we need to go back and ask ourselves that question that I read there out of the Book of Mormon on page 316. You know, have we been sufficiently humble? And that's not a judgment that I'm making. That's a question that I'm asking. That's a question that we need to ask our Heavenly Father. personally, individually, that he might show us and guide us and direct us, that his marvelous blessings might continue to be bestowed upon us, and that we might be able to stand before him at the judgment day. You know, the scriptures tell us that that's going to happen. Each one of us. There in the 20th chapter of Revelations, in the 12th verse, it's our 11th verse. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to their works. We're going to be judged. We're going to stand before God, this says. And we're going to be judged according to the things that are written in the books. And going to be a comparison. Fare up at that time. Will we be able to say that we have been sufficiently humble? Will we be able to say that we have gone through this life with that perfect brightness of hope? You know, hope is something that we have a confident expectation for, that we know of a surety is in fact going to come to pass, and that we feel so strong about that we're going to work towards that end, that we're going to put our trust in the things that have been promised, and we're going to dedicate our lives and make commitments and follow them, complete them. That we're going to allow the Lord to overrule and to ruin our lives. I'm going to I'm going to read from page 325 in the Book of Mormon, starting with the 38th verse. And now, my beloved brethren, I had said these things unto you, that you might awaken to your sense of duty to God, that you may walk blameless before him, that you may walk after the holy order of a God, after which you have been received. And I hope this morning that I have aroused your thoughts and your desires and supplications to your Lord, that you'll reflect on your relationship with your Heavenly Father, and if we, in fact, have sufficiently humbled ourselves. I hope that I have raised your thoughts, that you'll read the scriptures and look at them and understand and pray about them and focus in your mind the hope that is there of the resurrection of Christ and the promise that's been given to us, and that you'll allow the Lord to direct you and mold you, and that you'll draw yourself closer to him in supplications, prayer, that you'll turn over him your thoughts and ask for his direction in your life. That will measure ourselves to against the things that are written in the scriptures and ensure that we're living our life accordingly. That we'll look at scriptures such as the Sermon on the Mount. It's given to us in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. And, the words of Christ giving how we're to live our life. And see if we're living it that way, personally. And what it is we might need to change and make adjustment for. What it is that we might have to ask for his strength to be able to take it from our life. That we might not be caught up in the things about us. In the 39th verse, it said, "Now I would that you should be humble and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandment of God at all times." Asking for whatsoever things you stand in need, both in both spiritual and temporal. Always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever things you do receive. And see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and that you will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And now, my beloved brethren, I have spoken these words unto you according to the Spirit, which testifieth in me, and my soul doth exceeding rejoice because of the exceeding diligence and heed which you have given unto my word. And now may the peace of God rest upon you and upon your houses and lands and upon your flocks and herds and all that you possess, your women and your children, according to your faith and good works from this time forth and forever. And thus I have spoken. Amen." And these words here of Elma, have been preserved for us. I repeat them to each of us, that we might be humble, gentle, and submissive. That we might allow him to work within our lives. That we might have that hope. That we might not lose sight of the goal of eternal life. That's what it's all about. That's that's why we're here. And the road there doesn't have blind curves in it. It doesn't have unknown detours in it. It's straight. And the path is set before us and has been given to us in the scriptures. And we're to follow it and hang on to the rod of iron is spoken of here. That word of God, that we might not be lost and that we might not stray. That we might know what the Lord's desire is in our life. I'm going to read a song here that is on my mind this morning. It's song number 318. It said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he that is all my hope, he then is all my hope and stay. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. O Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Amen. And I hope that, again, we're using that word now, but it's a desire of my heart that each of us, you know, have that hope in nothing less than Jesus Christ. And that we're willing to commit our lives and do the things that an example that he has set, that we ponder the thoughts that have been given here this morning and read the scriptures where the Lord is telling us and giving us commandments and giving by example the life that we're to live, that we reflect and we take time out personally to reflect on what our relationship is with our Heavenly Father. That we don't take the time that we had this morning and that we leave here and not give thoughts about what we either had here in Sunday school or here in this service, but that we ponder them in our hearts and our minds and ask the Lord for direction and what we're to do with them. Because if we only come to absorb the words and not do anything with them, we haven't prepared ourselves. We haven't taken full advantage of what the Lord has blessed us with. You know, if we never read and study the scriptures, these books that we have are to no avail. If we don't petition the Lord and ask for direction in life, his promises are to no avail to us. If we don't allow ourselves to be led by him, if we don't allow him to mold us, if we don't submit ourselves to him, we are missing in the promise. We're missing that brightness of hope that has been given to us. So I pray that we take these things to mind and we ponder them in our hearts. I'd like to thank you for your time. Ask for your prayers, and I'll remember each of you in my prayers. Thank you.